Erev Tov, good evening. On page number one of the Maran Mekomos that was sent out in Siman Tafrei Shayin Aleph, under the rubric Seder Hadlokas Ner Chanukah Umekom Hanachoso, the order of lighting Neros Chanukah and the positioning of the Ner. The Mechaber begins in a very beautiful way. He writes, citing the language of the Rambam, not completely, but he takes one segment of the Rambam. Tzorech lizor emod b'hadlokas neros Chanukah. One has to be extraordinarily careful regarding the din of Ner Chanukah. The Rambam, when he cites this halacha in Perek Dalet Hilchos Chanukah, he tells us the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah chaviva hi ad mod is a very beautiful mitzvah. And the Rambam continues, b'tzorech adam lizor ba, one has to be exceptionally careful. And then the Rambam adds the following, k'dei lahodia hanes, in order to inform others about the miracle of Chanukah, ulahosit b'shevach hakel v'hodoy olo. One is obligated to add to the praise of Hashem Yisbarach in the course of Neros Chanukah. So this Rambam is incredibly striking. The Rambam tells us that the essence of Chanukah is Shevach V'Hodoya to Hashem. And that's most likely why the Rambam, when he incorporates the Dinim of Hallel, the Rambam could have subsumed Hallel under the rubric of Hilchos Tefillah in the laws of Tefillah. He does not do so. The Rambam includes Hallel in the context of Hilchos Chanukah. And the reason is exactly the Rambam indicated over here. The entire Yom Tov of Chanukah is undergirded and essentially has its fundamental foundation in this concept of Shevach Hokel V'Hodoyolom. But the Rambam's language was Ula Hosif B'Shevach Hokel V'Hodoyolom. My father, Lava Shalom, was always concerned about Mo's Sur. Mo's Sur, which of course has no halachic, no Talmudic basis, but it's a very beautiful mizmor that all of us sing on Chanukah. But you'll notice in Mo's Sur, there you not only have reference to Neros Chanukah and to the miracle of Chanukah, but simultaneously, we essentially open up the floodgates. And there we have a panoply of Yom Tovim that are alluded to, Pesach and Purim, v'chulu v'chulu. And the question is why? Well, the focus should be on Chanukah. That should be the entire, all the couplets and all the stanzas should be devoted to the Yom Tov of Chanukah. So I told my father, Rav Shalom, I think the answer is based on this Rambam. But the Rambam tells us, and this is a din in general, the moment the person begins to say Shevach V'Hodoya, one cannot possibly stop. There's no limit to the Shevach V'Hodoya that one has to give the Ribbono Shel Olam. And this is the subject of two Gemaras, a well-known Gemara in Brachos and a well-known Gemara in Megillah, where individuals began to praise Hashem. And right away, the response was, when they finished, did you complete saying the Shvachim of Hashem is Barach? It is impossible for a Basar Adam, for a finite human being, to sing the praises of an infinite Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Rambam has a concept, the Maran Nevuchim, a well-known discussion about Torim Shliliim, the doctrine of negative attributes. There's no way one can positively describe Hashem. And therefore, any attempt to describe Hashem in positive terms is automatically a diminution of his greatness. And that's indicated by the language of the Rambam. But there seems to be a din that once a person begins, so then a person has to continue to the extent that one can. A human being, of course, is limited. We are mugbal to a large extent. So the Rambam here tells you a din that once one begins to inform and to be mefarsin, the Nes of Chanukah, one has to be mosif b'shevach hakel v'odoy olo. So I told my father, Zatzal, that is exactly what Mo's Sur is all about. First we begin, the point of departure is the Yom Tov of Chanukah, but ultimately we have to branch out and we have to expand our horizons, and we do so by including and incorporating the other Yom Tovim as well. So the Rambam is telling us the Yesod of Chanukah is the Yesod of Hodoy. And that is a very important yesod, which also we see another context of Birchas HaMazon, we once actually referred to this in the past. We have the bracha of Birchas HaMazon. We have several brachas in the Torah. The first bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem Mazon HaSakol. And then the second bracha is the bracha of Hodah. No delecha Hashem Elokeinu al shenchalta labaseinu. So we begin to say Hodah to Hashem is Barach. And of course, the specific reference is to Eretz Yisrael. Al shenchalta labaseinu Eretz Chemda Tova Ruchava. But then once we begin to engage in Hodah, so we have a din that we have to now open up the floodgates, as I mentioned a moment ago, with reference to Moses Sur. And this is halacha in general. And therefore we begin. V'yal shahu tisonu Hashem Elokeinu me'eretz Mitzrayim. Uf tisonu me'beis abodim. V'yal berisecha shechasam d'vzorein. We have the vav achibur. And we are now adding one shevach to another shevach, to a third shevach, to a fourth shevach. V'yal chukecha shod atonu. V'yal chayim chen v'chesed shechon atonu. V'yal achilas mazon sh'ato zon. But at one point, we realize that there's no end. There's no way we could possibly sing the peons of praise, Shvachim to Hashem Yisbarach, that he's worthy of, that he's deserving of. And so we simply almost throw up our hands and say, V'yala kol Hashem Elokeinu anachnu modim lach uvrachim osach. We admit, we acknowledge our finitude. We acknowledge our limited ability to go ahead and sing Shvachim to Hashem Yisbarach. So the Yisod of Chanukah is the Yisod of Hodah. And this is clear as well when the Gemara is the Kasha. By Chanukah, the very beginning of the Sugyan Shabbos, and Rashi comments al Eiz Neis Kva'ua, and the Chazal tell us that one of the reasons why it was Niskan, says Rashi there on the spot, Lomar al Anisim, Halil v'Hoidah to Hashem Yisbarach. And that's what the Rambam writes over here, Lahosif b'Shevach Okel Yisbarach. That is built into the very fabric, the very fiber, the very architecture of Chanukah. There's a din of Hidur, of Sherech Vodah, and similar to what we have with reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim, where the Gemara writes, Mishnah writes, Kol Amar B'Lasabre B'Yitzias Mitzrayim Marez HaMeshubach, that the more one engages in Shvachim to Hashem Yisbarach over Yitzias Mitzrayim, the greater the praise. Sipur, by definition, indicates Hodah, Hu Adin B'Ner Chanukah. The same thing applies as well to Ner Chanukah. So this is already embedded in the Mechaber and Tofrei Shayin Alf that you have in front of you on page number one, Tzorech Lizor Emaod B'Hadlokas Neros Chanukah. But the Mechaber here does not cite the Rambam, only partially, as I mentioned, only in a fragmented kind of fashion. But he adds the following, V'afil oni amispanis menat zdoka, shoyel amechak susa v'lokeach shemen lahadlik. This is also a famous din that's found in the Rambam a fair number of times. And the Avnei Nezer, the Sochet Shavu Rav, already pointed out that there's a common denominator to all the areas where this is found, namely the concept that even a poor person who has to derive his sustenance from tzedakah, he goes ahead and he can literally has to go around begging, if necessary, in order to obtain shemen, oil, for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah of Halakas Neros Chanukah. We find this a number of other times in the Rambam with reference to Dalet Kosos of Yayin, and other examples. And apparently the common denominator, says the Avnei Nezer, is the idea of Prisumen Issa. Whenever there's a concept of publicizing the Nes, so then we have this din that one is obligated to go ahead and literally beg, if necessary, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Neros Chanukah, the Dalet Kosos, and a few other examples. And Mishnah Berurah points out that this is the source. The Bi'alocha points out right here, Afilo Oni, the source actually is Dalet Kosos. It's based on a Magna Mishnah, based on Pesumei Nisa, based on this concept of publicizing the Neros of Chanukah. The Mishnah Berurah then goes on to describe in that Bi'a Halacha the striking element of Ner Chanukah, which of course is unique to Neros of Chanukah. In general, we know that in all the mitzvahs of the Torah, each mitzvah has a specific halachic parameter or parameters that essentially direct us how to fulfill the mitzvah. Ner Chanukah is extraordinary in the sense that we don't have one approach, but rather we have three different approaches, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, and this is found here on page number 3, the citation of the Gemara in Shabbos and Daf Chaf Aleph from Mabez, a very well-known Gemara. The Gemara speaks about three madregos, namely the basic level, the basic obligation of Ner Chanukah, and then we have what's called Mahadrin, and then finally we have what's known as Mahadrin and HaMahadrin. We have three different levels that we'll discuss in Miss Hashem in a short while. The Beis Halevi already poses the question, many Rishonim already are concerned about this tripartite, this three-pronged obligation. Why should there be dafka with reference to Ner Chanukah? Three different levels. The basic level, which is Neri Shubeso, a Chovas Bayis, an obligation for each household to light a Ner Chanukah. Then we have the concept of Mahadrin, Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad, corresponding to each member of the family. We light a Ner on a nightly basis, and then Mahadrin and Mahadrin, which is what we follow. Namely, we are following the position of Beis Hillel, Mosif and Beholchin, every night we add a Ner. This is rather striking that we have such Hidurim and such additional dimensions to the mitzvah of Chanukah that we don't find with reference to any other mitzvah. So here also, the apparent source of this, or one possible source, is also the language of the Rambam that we just quoted a moment ago. Namely, when the Rambam said, and the Mechaber cites part of this Rambam, "V'tzorech adam lizoreh bo," and the Rambam said, "Lo dia hanes ulahosif b'sheva chokel v'odoyolo." This would seem to be the makor. That's how the Beis Halevi understands. This is the source for this three-pronged kind of halacha. There's a din of hodah. One is obligated to add shevach v'odah to Hashem Yisbarach. And therefore, whenever you have the yisod mitzvah that one is obligated to say hodah and to be mosif v'holech and to continue and to pile on hodah on top of hodah, that's built in to the very fabric of Chanukah, and that's exactly the yisod that we have over here. What's very fascinating, and this Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal noted a number of times, the Rambam, unlike the counterpart to Chanukah, which of course is Purim, these are two Yom Tovim Rabbanim, rabbinic days, the days that were ordained by Rabbanim, by the Chachmei Yisrael, and yet we find in Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam gives you the entire backdrop. He provides the history for the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And in a similar fashion, the Mishnah Berurah actually cites the Rambam more or less, and Mishnah Berurah actually, he completes the picture at the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. We don't find any such reference to background with reference to Megillah. And the distinction is fairly obvious and fairly self-evident. The Rambam Perek Gimel Hilchos Chanukah has already, several times in Hilchos Chanukah, the Rambam has compared Hadokas Neros to the din of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, there is a common denominator. These are both rabbinically ordained Yom Tovim, and the Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Halacha Dalet Hilchos Chanukah, Halakas Neros Mitzvah Midivrei Sofim KeKriyas HaMegillah. The Rambam has equated these two, namely lighting Neros on Chanukah and reading the Megillah on Purim, and the common denominator is clearly that of Pesumei Nisa, publicizing the miracle. In both situations, we have many, many miracles, many nisim, and the obligation to publicize these miracles. And of course, the question again rises, why is there no concept of Mahadrin with reference to Kriyas HaMegillah? We now indicated that obviously Chanukah is founded upon the foundation of Hodah, of saying praise and thanksgiving to Hashem, but Kriyas HaMegillah that the Rambam has equated with Hadagas Ner Chanukah is also founded upon the idea of saying Shevach V'Odah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Yudalid, the Gemara provides a number of reasons, a number of rationales why we don't say Halal on Purim. And one of the rationales is well known. The Gemara says, Kriyasa Zui Hilula. The actual reading of the Megillah constitutes a kind of Halal. So here we have in Hadagas Neres Chanukah, Halal V'Odah, and the Kriyas HaMegillah constitutes Halal V'Odah. Why do we have the concept of Mahadrin, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, with reference to Kriyas HaMegillah? The same question could be posed. So Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal answered this question very simply, that every Yom Tov essentially, certainly the makor for all Yom Tovim is Torah Shebichsav, is the written text that we have in the Torah, in Tanakh. However, there's one Yom Tov that has no makor in Torah Shebichsav. And our entire knowledge of this Yom Tov comes from Torah Shebaal Peh, and that's the Yom Tov of Chanukah. And that's why there's a fundamental distinction between Purim and Hanukkah. Namely, with reference to Purim, we have a Megillah. The Megillah more or less narrates, tells us the entire saga of that which occurred in the Shushan. And Kriyas HaMegillah essentially is a mitzvah of reading Torah Shebichsav, and the entire act of Kriya, of reading Kisvei HaKodesh, of reading the Megillah that we do on Purim, is a fulfillment of Pirsumei Nisa, and that is essentially the mitzvah exhausts itself in that act of reading. That act of reading constitutes Hallel, constitutes Pirsumei Nisa, and there's no possible heder. One could read the Megillah a number of times. Sometimes individuals have not yet heard the Megillah, and one could actually read the Megillah a fair number of times, but there's no additional kiyum mitzvah. There's no additional hidur. One simply is helping others discharge their obligation to be yotzei the mitzvah kriyas haMegillah. Masha'en ken Chanukah, there, Chanukah has no Torah Shebichsav component to it. It only is founded upon Torah Shebal Peh. And Chazal, in effect, decided they were misaking Halakas HaNeros and Re'iyas HaNeros, the obligations of Sidur Neros of Chanukah, Haroh Ner Chanukah Chayei Levarech, subject of Machlokes HaRishonim, under what circumstances. But whatever the case is, here we have a lack of Torah Shebichsav. It is purely founded upon Torah Shebal Peh. And therefore, that's why, since the entire Yom Tov of Megillah, of Purim, is founded upon Torah Shebichsav, there's no need for any further Hidurim with reference to that. Mashen Kein Neros of Chanukah, which is founded upon Torah Shebal Peh. And Soloveitchik was very fond of citing Maseches Sofrim. La Halacha, most of us pass like the Ramah. Ramo says that the first night when we make three brachos, so those brachos are made, first we light the candle, Neros Chanukah, and then let's say the second night when we're going to have two candles, we also recite two brachos, and in effect, the halacha of Kol HaMitzvahs B'Varech Aleihen Eibel HaSiyosin is applicable. We go ahead and make the bracha prior to the Maisa Mitzvah, but there's a Maseches Sofrim, a very striking comment, and this Haras Soloveitchik himself was knowing, which is not the minhag of Rav Klal Yisrael. The Rama actually quotes the minhag of Rav Klal Yisrael that the obligation and the brachos in effect that we make, let's say on the second night and the third night, we make two brachos, Ladik Ner Shal Chanukah, and the brach of Shas Adisim Lavaseinu Bayam Maim Bizman Azeh. So both of these brachos, in effect, are made, a person makes the brachos, and then you light the neros. So let you follow Maseches Sofrim, that once one ner is lit, then you say Haneros Halolu Kodeshem Vein Lanu Meshus Lishtamish Bohem Elul Olsim Bilvad, which is taken from Maseches Sofrim. Essentially, what we are doing is we are defining and we are explaining and we are expatiating on this mitzvah Pirsumei Nisa. That's exactly what Haneros Halolu is all about. It's a pirut. It's actually detailing, going into minutia about the mitzvah of Halakas Neros. And that's also, again, our Soloveitchik thought, based on this Rambam that I mentioned at the very outset, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Mitzvah Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od. It's an incredibly beautiful mitzvah. And many, many mefarshim, I would say, Harbe Yom Nishpach, Harbe Kul Musim Nishtabru. Where did the Rambam get that expression from? Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Chaviva Hiyad Ma'od. The only place in the entire Mishnah Torah where you have such an expression. An incredible expression. And it's true. It's authentic. But what's the makor? What's the source for it? And a lot of ink has been spilled and many pens have been broken to try to unearth and ferret out what the source of that Rambam is. But the fact of the matter is that there's an obligation because of the Chaviva Saneis Lehodia to spell it out in great detail. And that's exactly the whole idea of Neros Chanukah. And Neros Chanukah, as I said, differs from Purim, where you have a Megillah, here you don't have a text, and therefore, just like there's a din, maybe one could extrapolate and say, based on Torah Shebal Peh, based on the oral law, and this is essentially, again, the yesod of saying Shevach, Vodot Hashem is Baruch. So going back now to page number one, or rather page number three, where you see the Gemara, and let's just perhaps just briefly read the text of the Gemara, and let's see the three-pronged element that's found over here with reference to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. The Braisa writes, Tana Rabbanan, upper left-hand corner on page number three, Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso. Another very classic statement. This is also echoed by the Rambam on the same page, page number three. In Perek Dalib, the Rambam writes, Kama Nerus Humadlik B'Chanukah, how many candles to light a Hanukkah mitzvasa sheye kol bayis u bayis madlik ner echad. Each home, each house has to, in effect, light one candle. Ben shehoyu anshei habayis meruvim, the Rambam says, whether there are many members of the household, ben shehoyu ba'al adam echad, or there's only one person in the household. So the Rambam has stressed that the obligation is, as he said, sheye kol bayis u bayis madlik. And this itself is the subject of a lot of discussion among the Dolei HaMefarshim of the Rambam. It sounds like the Rambam holds that the Chiv Ner Kanaga is a Chiv as Bayis. The obligation devolves upon the house. That's what the Rambam writes. Kol Bayis U Bayis Madlik. The Rambam indicates that each house should light a Ner Chanukah. The Gemara actually uses the expression Ner Ishu Beso. There's no Hechreach from the language of the Gemara what exactly the obligation is. But here the Rambam seems to be pretty clear that someone who has a house is chayiv ner Chanukah. It's a chovas bayis. It's an obligation that devolves upon a house. Someone who has no house, there's no obligation to light ner Chanukah. Tesis in Sukkah, that Mevavim and Aleph, a very famous tesis, because the Gemara there also discusses the din of Haroeh. And the Gemara has a also not only discussion, but tesis on the spot points out, why is it that we only find the Birchas HaRoeh with reference to Ner Chanukah? HaRoeh Ner Chanukah Tzorech L'Varech, that I alluded to earlier in the Shir. And under what circumstances is the subject of a big machlokes among the Rishonim, but there is a concept of Roeh Ner Chanukah. Matter of fact, there are many, not only Admorim. The Torah is not limited to Admorim. There are other types of Jews who aren't Admorim, who are more Ashkenazic, more Litvish, in their approach, and many of them have a practice of looking at the Chanukiah, looking at the menorah. Admorim would look at it for hours, hours and hours they would peer at the menorah. And I know a number of wonderful Litvisha Jews who do the same, maybe not as many hours as the Admorim, but they're also into this concept of Haroeh Ner Chanukah, Tzorech L'Varech. There's a concept of Re'iyah with reference to Ner Chanukah. And right away, Tosfos in Sukkah, that Mevavim and Aleph raises this question, why don't we find with reference to lulav and esrog. Esrog is a beautiful hadar type of fruit. We should also, many people spend hours looking for an esrog and examining the esrog under an electron microscope if necessary. And obviously there's a concept there according from their perspective of examining it. They want a beautiful, the most mehudadika esrog, and that's a beautiful thing. That's a wonderful thing. But we don't find a Birchas HaRoeh on a Sukkah, on a Lulav, only by Ner Chanukah. So Tosfos writes over there, Sheish kama b'nei adam shein lehem batim de'im yodam l'kayim ha-mitzvah. There are people who don't have homes, who don't have a house, and they're not able to fulfill this mitzvah. And then Tosfos says over there, he brings another reason why we make a Birchas HaRoeh, and then he said, this explanation that I just mentioned of the home is critical to lo tikshi mi mezuzah. And the Tosfos is asking a simple question, why is it there's only a bracha Ner Chanukah? Because there are people who don't have houses. And why is there no bracha for a mezuzah? If someone sees a mezuzah, there also should be a Birchas HaRoeh that one should, in effect, make. And there are people who don't have houses, and they obviously are not in a position to put up a mezuzah. A mezuzah is only affixed if a person has a house. And even though we don't fully understand the analogy that Tosfos draws between the two, because offhand, ein hanidon dama l'raya. How do you compare Ner Chanukah to mezuzah? By Ner Chanukah, even someone has no house is mechuyav in Ner Chanukah, except he has a problem, a physical problem. He has nowhere to be mukai in the mitzvah. He's not able to fulfill the mitzvah. And that's why Chazal mesakin in Birchas HaRoeh. But a mezuzah is completely and totally a chovas bayis. It's only an obligation of someone who has a home. Someone who has no house is no chiyav whatsoever to put up a mezuzah. So why should there be a Birchas HaRoeh? The whole analogy of Tosfos needs explanation, needs examination. But it would seem from the Rambam, again, as I indicated, that the obligation of Ner Chanukah is a chovas bayis. So someone, with reference to Ner Chanukah, it would seem that if he has no home, he's potter from Ner Chanukah. That's what Tosfos asks. If by Ner Chanukah, Chazal were mesakin the bracha to someone who doesn't have a home, and it's potter from Ner Chanukah, mezuzah also. Why shouldn't Chazal be misakin in Birchas HaRoeh if he has no home, even though he's part of a mezuzah? And it seems that that's the obligation of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah is a chovas bayis and not a chovas gabra. That would be the other alternative, is to assume that the obligation of Ner Chanukah is a personal obligation, that an individual has as opposed to being a chofes bayis. But the language of the Rambam would seem to be supportive of this notion that it's an obligation that devolves upon one's home. So going back to the Gemara on page number 3, the Gemara comments there are three levels. The fundamental level is mitzvahs ner Chanukah, ner Yishuv Beiso, an obligation upon the house. V'hamahadrin, second level. Level number 2 says the Gemara, ner l'kol echad v'echad, each individual is obligated to light a ner. And finally, mahadrin, l'mahadrin, here we have a famous machloket between Beshama and Beisilo. Beshama omim yom rishon madlik shmona, you start with 8, and then you proceed downward. Yikan ve'elech poches v'olech, 8, 7, 6, v'chulu. Beisilo omim yom rishon madlik achas, yikan ve'elech mosu v'olech. Beisilo says, no, we go from 1 to 8 in an upward kind of trajectory. But the Braisa is telling us there are three ways to be mekayim the mitzvah of hadlakas neres Chanukah. One could fulfill it at the very fundamental level, namely one ner in every home. One who wants to be further mahader in this mitzvah can light neros corresponding to the number of members of his household. And someone who wants to be mahadim and a mahadrin, so he's going to light in a graduated kind of fashion. Again, we're talking about, according to Beis Shammai, 8 going down, according to Beis Hillel, 1 going up all the way to 8. And we pass in the halacha, like Beis Hillel, that one lights on the first night of Chanukah, Ner Echad, and one is Mosif B'chol Yom, again, in correspondence with the household. Now, the question, of course, is, and this is the subject, again, of the discussion in the Gemara, but we'll read the language of the Rambam and continue on page number 3 with the Rambam Perek Dalet, Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam began, we read the first part of the Rambam. The Rambam simply cites here the Gemara. Kamaz neros u'madlik b'chanukah, how many candles does one light? Mitzvasa, she'er kol bayis u'bayis madlik ner echad. That each house should light one candle. Ben shoyu anshei habayis merubim, whether there are many members of the household. Ben shoyu bo'al other mechad, there's only one member of the household. And the Rambam goes on. V'amahadir es ha-mitzvah. The Rambam says those who want to enter the second level, Madlik Neros Kiminshin Anshei Habayis, is going to light corresponding to the number of individuals in his family. Ner L'Kol Echad V'Echad, one Ner. If there are 5 members, he'll light 5 Neros. If there are 10 members, he'll light 10 Neros. Bein Anoshim, Bein Noshim. And then we have the third level, Hamahadi Yeser Alzeh, V'Oseh Mitzvah Min Amuchar, because that's what, in general, the concept of Hidur Mitzvah is to do a Mitzvah Min Amuchar, which means Me'ikir Adin. It is not required that technically one is yotzei with one ner each night. That is the fundamental mitzvah. Each night one adds candles. However, those additional candles are not mikra mitzvah. The ikra mitzvah is one candle each night. But if one wants to fulfill mitzvah and amuvcha, mav ner the kolecha v'echa b'layla rishon, u'mosu olim chalayla b'layla ner echad. So what's fascinating is that according to the Rambam, why does the Gemara call those that follow the practice of mahadim and amahadim? Why is that term used? A very striking term, mahadrim and mahadrim, means the mahadrim are those, the second level, that light neros k'neged anshei habayis. They light, the Rambam says, candles corresponding to the number of people in the home. Mahadrim, mina mahadrim, they're also part of the group called mahadrim, and they're also lighting candles k'neged anshei habayis. However, that doesn't suffice for them. And they're going to light for each individual. They're going to add the Bali Atesis. If you look on page 3, you can see actually Atesis, a very well-known, fascinating machlokes of Rishon. I'm not going to enter into this point, but the Bali Atesis basically disagree with the Rambam. They contend that Mahadim and Mahadim, in effect, lights in a way of Mosiv Aholech only one time without any connection to the number of people in the household. And Tosis explains why that's so, why he has this position, why the hadlaka is mehuderes. More or less, Tosfos writes here, you can see it to the right of the Gemara, that there's a heker when a person is mosiv aholech or mechaser, because it corresponds to yom hanichnosim and yom hayotzim, days that come, or the days that have left, that have passed. If one would go ahead and make a ner l'kolecha v'echad, make a separate candle for each individual, even if you're going to add, says Tosfos, lecha hakera, there won't be any clear recognition. People will think that that's the number of people in the home. Just to briefly explain that, if we follow the Rambam, so then the plus of Mahadim and Amahadim, again, of lighting this third level, so then as far as the idea of being madlik keneged hayomim, that's going to be completely subverted, because of someone who sees four candles in someone's doorway, he will not know, is today the fourth night of Hanukkah? Perhaps it's the first night of Hanukkah and there are four people living in this home. One will not have a heker, will not be recognizable, will not be discernible. Or maybe today is the second day of Hanukkah and there are two people in this household. The whole idea of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, it should be a heker, the Mispar Yomim. There should be a recognition of the number of days that we have actually experienced. And that's why the Balei HaTosfos feel that Mahadrin and Mahadrin will light one set of Neros, Kineged Minyan HaYomim. I'm not discussing that machlokas now. It needs a lot more fleshing out, the discussion between the Rambam and the Balei HaTosfos. But the Gemara goes on to say here on page number 3, upper left-hand corner, the Gemara said there are two different explanations for the positions of Beshamai Besilo. Why is it Beshamai feels that we should go down and Besilo feels we should go up? The Gemara said there are two Amoraim in Eretz Yisrael who argued, Rabbi Yossi Bar Avin and Rabbi Yossi Bar Zvida. One said the reason of Beshamai is Keneged Yom HaNichnosin. Beshamai looks to the days that are coming and Besilo looks to the days that have passed. And the other one said the basis of Beshamai, why Beshamai went down, because it corresponds to the Karbanos of Sukkos. We brought Karbanos on Sukkos, and every day they brought fewer and fewer Karbanos. It went down. Pokes in the Hochin. Of course, the obvious question is, Mayin Yishmita Yitzhar Sinai? What's the connection between Sukkos and Hanukkah? What's the area of commonality between them? That needs also a separate discussion. But the reason the Beis Hillel says the second explanation is, Malim Bakodesh Emarid. In general, this is a principle in Halacha that we see in many Gemaras. We go up in Kedusha, and we don't go down. The Gemara then relates the name of Rabbi Baba Chana. The Gemara says there were two Skenim, two elderly scholars in Sidon, in the city of Sidon. One followed the position of Beshamai, one followed the position of Beis Hillel. Each one presented one of these two Tamim, one of these two reasons, one of these two rationales. One said it corresponds to the Pori Achag, to the Karbanos that underwent the diminution at Sukkos, and that's why the position, in effect, we go down. And the other one said, like Beis Hillel, so there's a very fascinating Vilna Gaon found here on page 3 in the lower right-hand corner. The Gaon actually goes on to explain the Tofei Shayin Aleph that the Machlokes, the Rambam, the Balei HaTosfos, it really depends on this argument among the Amoraim regarding the reasons of Beis Hillel and Beshamai. The Balei HaTosfos apparently held like the first opinion. The reason of Beis Hillel is Keneged Yom HaNichnosin, and therefore there has to be a Heker, there has to be a recognition of the number of days that we are involved in. And the Rambam says, no. The Rambam says, like the second opinion, the basis is Malim Bakodesh Emarid. We go up in Kedusha. We don't go down. First, we put on our talis. Then we put on our tefillin. Tefillin, of course, have a greater Kedusha. Have a Kedushas Haguf. The tefillin, of course, has in it the Parshios, the Shemus of Hashem is Barach. And that's considered to be Tashmish Kedusha. And a talis is considered to be Tashmish Mitzvah. And therefore, we first put on a talis and then we put on the tefillin. Malim Bakodesh. They were reading that, therefore, according to the Rambam, there's no need for any kind of heker for the number of days. And in effect, what the Gaon adds over here in the Biagra, that even the Rif holds like the Rambam. The Rif does not say, he does not bring this halacha of Mahadrin and Mahadrin, which is, again, striking. Generally, the Rif and the Rambam seem to be more or less in agreement. They say there are only 10 places, there's some sort of a Masera, 10 places at all Shas where the Rif and the Rambam argue. Unfortunately, those who learn Shas discover there are tens and tens, scores of places where the Rambam and Balei and the Rif argue. So I'm not sure about that Masorah. Doesn't seem to be a correct Masorah. However, the Rif quotes Lalocha, the position of Rabbi Baruch Chana, that the reason for Beis Hillel is Malim Bakodesh Emarid, we go up in Kedusha, we don't go down. So therefore, the Rif agrees with the second time, and there's no need for a Heker in the number of days, and therefore he holds like the Rambam. Halacha Lemaisa, as I mentioned, if you look in Shulchan Aruch again, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, and this is the bottom of the page, the bottom of page 3. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, more or less, cites in Halacha Beis. Kama Neiros Madlik, how many candles does one have to light? Bailela Arisha Madlik Echad, the first night we light one candle. Mikan Ve'elach Mosu V'holach Echad V'cholayla. From then on, we add a candle each night. Ad Shebelel Achron Yushmona, the last night of Hanukkah, Zos Hanukkah, as it's known. There are 8 candles. Afilu and Rabbi B'nei Abayis Le'adiku Yoser. Even if there are many, many members of the household, a large family, you're not going to light more than the number of than that number. The Rambam Paskins, like the Rambam, this is also one of the rare occasions where the Rambam, who follows the Ashkenazi practice, and here he passes like the Rambam Shita. Already many of the Meforshim and Shulchan Aruch already note this. Rambo says, V'yeshom v'kolecha me'abayis yadlik, v'chein aminik pashut. The practice is that each member of the household lights Neros Chanukah, and that seems to be the universal practice. And the Rambo adds, V'yizaru liten kolecha v'echa neroso b'makom v'yuchad. Everyone should put his candles in a very specific spot, position. K'deshe heke kamen Neros Madlikin, so we should know how many candles are being lit. Here in Eretz Yisrael, many, many people light outside. Hopefully we will address that issue. Again, what's fascinating, just an editorial note, if I may, that Hilchos Chanukah and some of the halachas that relate to positioning of the Neros Chanukah and how they should be lit are thornier, and I would say even in some respects more convoluted and more difficult than Hilchos Ribbis and the learning kachim. Seems that learning kachim is much easier than where one should position one's Ner for Chanukah. In Eretz Yisrael, there's not a practice that is not literally carried out. You can find Neros Chanukah in every single Bechol Pino Pina. I'm not exaggerating. They light people outside. They light in windowsills. They light on the table. They light in stairwells. They light at the entrance to the homes, to the doorway. They are people lighting in so many different possible spots. And when one is asked to Shailen Halacha what to do, I sometimes want to say, Teiku, Tishmi, Tarez, Kushis, Vahabayos. Let Elyon Navi come and let him resolve this matter. So even though one would think that Hilchos Chanukah is pretty straightforward and not so complicated, not so difficult, and yet this is one of the thorniest issues that one encounters on an ongoing kind of basis. So here the Ramah says, everyone should position in there in a Makom Miyuchad. That's one of the pluses of having the Chanukiah, of having these glass cases. In order there should be a heker, how many neros we are lighting. So there are more passages like the Rambam. However, the Maisa, there's quite a distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam. According to the Rambam, one person lights. This is a Sephardic practice. One individual lights, namely the Baal HaBayit. That's how it works in the Sephardic homes. I'm not going to get into that sociological discussion of distinction between Sephardim and Ashkenazim. That would require a major thesis, and I have what to say about that matter as well. But the Baal HaBayit is considered to be the one who directs traffic. He navigates the home, and therefore he's going to light, according to the Rambam, corresponding to the number of people in the family. The Rambam says, "Kol echav ne'abayis madlik la'atzmo." Each one is going to light himself. That's one distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam. And it could be that this distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam is reflective, perhaps, of another fundamental distinction where how they understood the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Chanukah. According to the Rambam says that the Baal HaBayit lights candles k'neged mispar anshei habayis, corresponding to the number of people in the home. It means the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros is, as we said earlier, a mitzvah that devolves upon the house, on the bayis, as the Rambam indicates, called bayis u bayis, has to be madlik ner echad. So one, of course, of the aspects that in effect is characteristic of a home are the number of people who are there, the number of members of the household. And therefore, the Mahadrin and Mahadrin and Mahadrin, the practice is that one person represents the entire house. He is the shaliach. He is the natzig of the house. He's going to light candles in sync with the number of nefashos, with the number of people who are in that household. The Rambam, on the other hand, contends that the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros really is a mitzvah that is chal upon each individual mikra din. A person, in effect, has neros that are lit in his home. He's yotzei the chiyuv, so he really is not obligated to light any further neros. But according to the Mahadrin, Mahadrin and Mahadrin, each person is madlik la'atzmo. Each person actually lights for himself. Someone told me that perhaps there's a distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam had to define the term Mahadrin. The Rambam defined the term Mahadrin from the shorash of Hidur Mitzvah, from the shorash of Hadar, doing something in a very beautiful kind of way, doing something in a very aesthetically pleasing type of way. And the Rambam defines Hidur Miloshon Chipus, HaMahadrin, those who follow, those who search, those who run after mitzvahs and want to be Mekayimit themselves and don't want to be Mekayimit through the Halakha of the Baal HaBayit. That's perhaps an etymological and a philological distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam that someone noted to me. But the Rambam, again, as I said, this distinction between the Rambam and the Rambam also is relevant to the Bracha and Hadlakas Neros. According to the Rambam, one person is lighting for the entire household, so he's only going to make one Bracha. According to the Rambam, where each individual is going to light, so obviously each one's going to make a Bracha, even though Mikra Din, I'm already Yotze the Chiyav based on the Balabait who lit Neros Chanukah, Ner Ishu Beso, but the minhag of the Ramah, which is the Ashkenazi practice, that those who light Neros Chanukah, each one makes a bracha on the Hadlaka, like the Shita of Mahadrim and Mahadrim. So this is a fundamental, a number of differences between the Ramah and the Rambam. And let's just add perhaps one other element, which is also significant, that as I indicated, that somehow this element of Hidur, which applies to Ner Chanukah, is exceptional. Doesn't apply to other mitzvahs. We mentioned earlier the Beis Halevi, we mentioned earlier the Rambam. So I heard from Hagoyin of Ashavai Shlita a number of times. I heard him speak on Chanukah, and he actually suggested that the following suggestion, namely that the nature of Chanukah, and this is the question which, of course, all of us are concerned with, that really we assume that somehow the nature of the Hebrew mitzvah is different than other mitzvahs. That's what we just articulated. That's what we just postulated. And he contended perhaps not. In other mitzvahs, there is a very specific, very defined, delineated way to fulfill the mitzvah. And above that delineated way to fulfill the mitzvah, there are ways to be mahader in the kiyum mitzvah. But even if a person is the kind of mitzvah, the hidur, but essentially the ikra mitzvah remains the ikra mitzvah and the hidur is a hidur. However, regarding Ner Chanukah, here we have three different ways that all parallel the kiyum mitzvah. A person is not obligated to choose dafka mahadrin, but if he does choose mahadrin, so then all the neiros that he lights are now become part of the ikra mitzvah and not simply a hidur. Now this is what Rav Asher Weiss contended. He argued this a number of times. He brought a number of interesting rayas. One raya is from the Rambam that we just mentioned, that quoted by the Mechaber as well over here, that an ani who has no money, someone who's impoverished, someone who's destitute, so even though he doesn't have what to eat, he's sustained by tzedakah, he's going to have to borrow or sell his clothing in order to obtain shemen, to buy neros in order to be madlik them. So apparently, the Shitas HaRambam, and this is how the Yosamech understood it, that Rami Simcha said that according to the Rambam, the Ani has to sell his clothing in order to light not just the basic mitzvah, but the light to Minhag HaMahadrin. Because according to the Rambam, the Ner is the Kli that you put the Shemen in, and then you have the Psila, you have the wick, in order to Mekayim Ner Yishubay. So it's enough to have one Ner, that a person in effect puts everyday Shemen and lights one Psila, one wick. The fact here, the Rambam writes, the Rambam speaks about an oni. Not only does he take shemen, he takes neros, loshen rabin. So Rav Asher Weiss, going to Rav Asher Weiss, is medayik loshen Rambam that he has to acquire a number of neros. Apparently, it has to be knowing the meaning of mahadrin or mahadrin and not mahadrin. So if the din of mahadrin was just a hidur, where do we find that an oni is obligated to sell his clothing in order to mekayim a hidur mitzvah? But once a person chooses to be a mahadrin, then each of the neros becomes me'ikra din, and he has to be kind of the mitzvah at that level, namely bishlei musa. This is a massive chiddush, which Agon of Hashemai Shlita has postulated, but hayotze b'kold vareinu, that we have the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is a gorgeous mitzvah, a beautiful mitzvah. Zekei livyan veyu, elokei oviram amenu. It's the opportunity for a person to go ahead and engage in Shevach v'hodoya to Hashem Yisbarach. Pirsumi Nisa, that Chanukah is the time that the Yevonim, the Syrian Greeks, wanted, as we say in the Alanisim, Lashkicham Tarasecho La'avir Mechukei Ritzonecho. And we're obligated, in effect, to be Mefarsim, the Nes of Chanukah, to publicize that Baruch Hashem, the Yevon Shalom, in his kindness, in his beneficence, was able to save us, the Hatzalah, from the Syrian Greeks, and the Chiyav is again that we are being mefarsein and saying Shevach v'hodoya to Hashem Yisbarach. And many distinguish between Chanukah and Purim in the following way, that Purim was Hatzolos Haguf, and Chanukah was more of Hatzolos HaNefesh. That's a distinction that's already made by many and is founded upon the Narachayim HaKadosh actually in Parshat Beshalach. But this distinction is a very significant one, a very clear one, and therefore undoubtedly that's really the mandate that all of us have on Chanukah, to be mefarsim in the Nes and to say Shevach v'hodoya to Hashem Yisbarach k'chol she'efshar. Rav Soloveitchik was very makpid. There are two nuschos in Al HaNisim. He was makpid to say V'al HaNisim V'al HaPurkan. In light of what I said earlier with the Rav HaChibur, it's a psak of the Mishnah Berurah as well. Actually, in one of the shuls that I was a rub in. So there was a self-appointed elf who came in the middle of the night and changed all the nuschos of the Sidurim and added a Vav HaChibur. Yeah, a lot of work to do. It took a number of hours. And the next day, the Balabatim came and said, "What is going on here? My high, what happened? Why are there many Vav HaChiburs?" I have to know that elf. Anyway, but the Alanisin, the Alapurkan, that's the obligation, as I said earlier, with Bechas Hamozen, and that's the obligation. Lahosit b'shevach v'keil hodoya to Hashem Yisbarach halavai that this Chanukah kishem she'asa the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu asa nisim b'yom mahem so to HaKadosh Baruch Hu continue to do nisim la'voseinu b'zman hazeh b'yomeinu anu b'mher b'yomeinu amen v'yomeinu.